Hello, it's I'm live, which sounds good. Hopefully people hear me. Oh, Mark says, am I the only one here? You were then, Mark. You were the first in the room. That is dedication. And you've got a little crown as a result. You've got a purple crown. That's pretty cool. Can somebody tell me that they can hear me just to confirm that I've got sound? Because that the worst thing in the world would be to be chatting and no one being able to hear. Yes, good. Thank you, Alistair. Thank you. Good. Excellent. Brilliant. Right. Does anybody have a question? Or can I just do a little bit of a rant about the budget? Because I think what's going on is that people aren't actually noticing how bad this is because of how bad this is. I mean, it's not in an ordinary world. Imagine that we lived in an alternative universe in which Britain was well governed. The fact that the Chancellor had leaked details of the budget would be a major scandal on its own. That's it. Say that would be enough of a scandal to call for her resignation, to probably get a police investigation because that's potential market manipulation, you know, and we should not have the budget leaking. The entire process back in this alternative world of well-run UK, in well-run UK, the civil servants who are working on the budget are not allowed to talk to each other about what's in the budget, and they only know what they is in their little bit of the budget, and they're not allowed to tell anybody else about it, and if they do, they get arrested and they go to prison, because that too would be market manipulation, or they might use it to profit themselves and make themselves wealthy, which would be absolutely awful. So even though civil servants would be under, in a well-run UK, under immense pressure and rules. So just the fact that she leaked, and we know she leaked, and then she counter-leaked, and that would be enough to be a massive, massive scandal about the budget. And then on top of this, you get the OBR releasing the entire budget, a summary assessment document, which therefore, by definition, contains the budget before the budget is given in the House of Commons. That would be a massive, massive scandal. And lots of people would be being sacked. And in a well-governed UK, the Chancellor would be responsible for the chairman of the OBR, because ultimately, when we are a well-run country again, ministers will be responsible. They won't be able to just go things like, oh, the head of Ofgem's insane. It's their fault. The head of Ofcom's insane. It's their fault. No, minister, the buck stops with you. And instead, we live in this alternate UK where ministers feel there's no responsibility for anything. Rachel feels responsible only for changing her hairstyle, which, by the way, she seems to do an awful lot. I'm not sure that the heterosexual men amongst us will have noticed, but ladies and same-sex attracted men like me will have spotted that she changes her hair all the bloody time. I mean, it's insane. It's absolutely insane. But we're still not done here in clown explaining why Britain is now clown land, okay? Because in addition to this, in well-run UK, the Speaker of the House of Commons would be calling for her resignation and admonishing the government for releasing information that isn't released inside the House of Commons. That's another major scandal that all on its own would be a major scandal. And then we end up with a scandal that I mean, really, push has come to shove. And I think of all the major scandals, all of them are alone a reason to resign. But the one that I really hope she cannot wriggle out of is lying. So I went down Spoons, as I want to do. Oh, thank you very much, Vamp Diva. That's very generous of you. Well, exactly. It's pretty close to the price of a pint, which is why I go down Wetherspoons. But I was down Wetherspoons with my mate who votes Green and is a strong Remainer still. I find it odd that people still have strong feelings about something. But anyway, because I get on with people across the board. I never care about anybody's politics. It just doesn't bother me. I care if they're decent people, and he's a decent person. I showed him my joke. I've done a joke about Rachel Reeves that got quite a lot of traction on Twitter, and he hadn't heard that they'd attacked Nigel Farage over something allegedly said in his school days. It hadn't cut through to him. He's not on social media, and he wasn't aware of it. When I told him, he was like, "That's really unfair on Nigel." And this is a man who doesn't like Nigel, but it simply hadn't cut through. But I said to him, "Are you aware of anything about the Chancellor?" And he just went, "She lied." I was like, "Oh yeah, okay. So the lying has cut through." The one thing that has cut through to my mates down Spoons is the fact that the Chancellor lied. And ultimately, of all of these scandals that are part of the utter wrongness that that has gone on in this budget car crash, She cannot be allowed to get out of that one. She cannot make a manifesto pledge to not raise specifically named taxes and then raise them, which she knows she's doing by pausing the threshold. She knows that's what she's doing. She knows what inflation rates are. She knows how this system works. She is raising taxes and breaking her manifesto pledge. And they're only doing this to buy off the backbench Labour MPs. And already 44% of businesses are calling for her to go, who've been surveyed are calling to her a Times thing, are calling for her to go. And over 50% of businesses say that they won't hire anymore. So there's not going to be any jobs. I worry for everybody. You know, I'm trying to provide for my family through media and social media. By all means, please do not believe that it is instant wealth or that it is an easy thing to do. I know everybody else is working to protect and guard their families. I hope everybody is safe. We're about to go through something awful. We're about to go through something awful that I have known all my life because I grew up in the 80s. And we were told, you know, if you just tax and spend and grow the public sector, then you won't have any jobs and you won't have an economy. And we're about to have no jobs and no economy. And all of this was known. It's like, we know socialism doesn't work. This is not new to us. This should not surprise anybody. We don't get to be naive like the people of Cuba when they had their revolution. We just don't get to believe that it's going to work. That's not plausible. You have to be as dim. And if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know that I do think that the dimmest of all the Labour MPs is a bloke called Triss Osborne, who obviously had a gilded life, but who now simply sends tweets like, "Isn't it amazing how fantastic Britain is doing?" It's just like, you total loon. But we don't get the privilege of believing that socialism will work this time. Now, I saw up before I ranted a bit. And the other thing is just to say that trial by jury, I mean, we've just got to beat him on this. And if it was released cynically to then get, I think what they did was they released it thinking that people like me would get upset, but then that people like everybody else the next day would just move on because the budget was more important. And I think what we've managed to do, and we must do this, by the way, there's a skill we must all learn. It's called not forgetting just because we went to sleep. They seem to literally think that if we go to sleep, we'll forget what happened. And sometimes that does work. Like when David Lammy called reform fascists, we did sort of forget it because they just stayed silent for a while and had another distracting scandal. But we're going to have to manage. Oh, hello, Hillary. Are you a mod? I modded you. Hillary's from my Substack. My Substack's very democratic. I'm not actually in charge of it. Hillary's in charge. So all of this makes sense to people who are only on YouTube and don't know me and from Substack, because I know that they are very different communities. But with trial by jury, we've done a marvelous job of paying attention to two scandals at the same time. We're still calling for Rachel to go today. We're going to carry on doing that. And we're going to carry on complaining about taking away trial by jury because it is absolute tyranny. There are the two most important rights you have in a free country are trial by jury and the right to vote. OK, and we only got the right to vote about most of us because I would have been working class. You know, we didn't have, working class men didn't got the vote when women got the vote. It's often forgotten, but it's true. And most of us got the vote about the same time. And it was only, you know, just over 100 years ago. The right to trial by jury is far older because it's so much more essential, because if you lose that one, you really are just living in a tyranny and you may as well give up. So I'm going to go on Josh Howie tomorrow. I haven't got the time yet, but I expect it'll be around 7 p.m. or it better be, because I hate going on late and then getting back late. I'm old now. I'm middle-aged. I can't be out of the house late at night. And it's Christmas party season, so I have to go to all sorts. I've been marvellously getting out of Christmas parties because I have my child to look after. I'm not Stella Creasy, so I don't complain about that. Looking after my child is a burden. Looking after my child to me is a joy, and it means I don't have to go to loads of Christmas parties. Sadly, the one I do miss is that I can't go to my Tusi's Christmas party, but I am invited and he is still lovely and it will be a fabulous party. But I am 45, Vamp Diva. And I feel old. I've bought sensible shoes. That's what I have done. Right, let me get to some of your questions. We've got a list, but let's see. I thought I saw some live ones. And Hillary, if you can track any down, thank you for everything you do on our channel. Oh, that's really nice. Thank you. Is there no comeback for lying to the people? Lying to Parliament would be breaking the ministerial code. Lying to Parliament is breaking the ministerial code. She's almost certainly broken the ministerial code. They've almost certainly broken the ministerial code, a whole bunch of them, a whole bunch of times. It requires the Speaker to do something and the Speaker is being completely useless. I'm encouraging people to write to the Speaker. You can email him, but I think physically writing has more of an impact. Just expressing your outrage. You'll probably get back some defensive corporate speak. But the fact that you'll get a reply is better. And it doesn't matter what they actually say to you. It matters that they say, goodness, they're getting a lot of complaints about this. And that's when they will change their they will tell you that they're not, but they will change their behavior secretly. I've been around politicians an awful lot. I've been in that place an awful lot of times. I was walking out of it the other day and the shadow chancellor of the Exchequer did a double take and went, and I must have mentally gone, it's that bloke from Twitter. But, you know, I am around them far more than they think. And ultimately, we can all go. And ultimately, it may come to that. We may need mass protests. But let's see if I can find a question. We're living in Orwellian times. Yes, we are. Should be investigated. I think that after this government, I think we are probably going to look at criminal charges or criminal investigations. I think we have to. Not maliciously, and I'm a Christian, so I would always urge people away from anything that looks like revenge, but so that this does not happen again. I think our state has been so poorly treated. I think our nation has been so poorly treated. Our voters have been so poorly treated. You know, I think ordinary people feel so utterly cut off from an ability to control their country and their lives. And these people feel so corrupt that I think we probably are going to need to investigate them and have some criminal convictions. I mean, one of my lovelies on my Substack yesterday was asking, should that get trial by jury? Hint, that we shouldn't. And it's like, no, we'll give them trial by jury and we'll give them all the rights. We won't do what they did to Boris Johnson, you know, but we should have something because what has happened is just so, so wrong. I mean, things like there's an NHS trust that has spent £750,000 to replace a single door. That needs criminal investigation. That it just does. Said really says, just arrived. Apologies if this has already been asked. What are your thoughts on the possible claims that the OBR has stated there was no black holes? Yeah, so that was my rant. So when this becomes a video, go back and watch my rant. But I don't want to bore people again. But I think it's really serious that the OBR have effectively said that the Chancellor is lying. I think it's really serious that the Chancellor lied. And I think she should go. But I do a breakdown of all the wrongness of Budget Week. So you might want to watch that when this is a video, because this is currently live and then it becomes a video through something I like to call magic, because any technology you don't really understand is magic. No, sorry. No, can we leave off the wonky lampshade? I've tried to fix it. I don't understand lamps. I'm not gonna... good at law, bad at lamps. But people are being nice about my spiel, which is kind. I put a question in the community section yesterday. Hope you find useful and interesting. Okay, Neil, let's go try and get this question from Neil. There we are. No, Neil, do you use a different... can't find you. Right, don't worry, we'll get to questions. We had an industrial base to fall back on, now we have nothing. We have literally nothing. I mean, I saw something saying that the finance industry is in a bad way, which got me really worried. Steve and I have a question. Do you think Starmer should make his next flight one way? Yes. Or we should all withhold tax. Oh, somebody's been very generous. Thank you. Q, Dan Wharton publicly named and shamed a restaurant because the manager rang to that. Yes, I know. I publicly intervened on that. Do the restaurant have a defamation case if they lose business? Not against Dan, no. The restaurant has absolutely no claim against Dan. Dan might have a defamation claim against the restaurant, but I think he publicized it, whereas they tried to do it secretly. The restaurant are the bad people. Dan Wharton is not the bad person. Dan Wharton is entitled to have a peaceful dinner. Let's take somebody from the opposite political spectrum, Owen Jones. Owen Jones is entitled to have a dinner in central London without being hounded or without the restaurant being bullied into being silly. You know, that guy Femi, who, I mean, I just don't think he's very clever, so I don't really bother with him, but he's entitled to a meal. Diane Abbott, who I've agreed with twice in the last 2 weeks, she's entitled to have a meal in central London without being, you know, hounded. Dan Wootton is entitled to have a meal. And the only thing that's interesting about that meal of Dan Wootton is that I wasn't invited. That's the awful thing about that meal. But I will tease them when I see them about that. Stephen, the lawyers and judges should do the same as the Scottish judiciary did and refuse to defend or judge cases. It may come to that, James. I mean, I've publicly made it very clear that if I were a judge, I would not want the power to be able to try and convict on my own somebody of a criminal offence that then sent them to prison and then send them to prison. That is judge, jury, and executioner. It is wrong. You know, if you follow me, you know, people know I'm a mild Tolkien obsessive, but, you know, Gandalf and Galadriel did not, they were offered power and they said no. And if I was offered power, I would say no. I think that needs to be done. Any judge who would accept this. Oh, DC, when you donated, you asked a question and I can see it. It does make it so much bloody easier. What's the minimum donation? Because it just makes the thing so much easier to see. Can Rachel Reeves be charged with misconduct in public office? You read my mind. Dacre Crescent. Because I am going to do a video on that specific offence. I'm going to take everybody through it in detail. It's going to go up tomorrow. And between you and me, I think that she should be investigated for misconduct in a public office. I think the chairman of the OBR should too. And I think we're going to need more of this. Sally Hughes has a question, says Hillary. Yes, but it's no good, Hillary, if I can't find Sally Hughes. Now I'm kicking things. Look, good at the law, rubbish at technology. Let's try and find Sally Hughes. This was Neil. Oh no, this. So my Substack is a lot quieter. I can't find Sally. Sally Hughes. Sorry, another question. Wish I had you on speed dial in my mind, Stephen. They say where there's a will, there's a way. If there's a legal way to, is there a legal way to curb illegal migration? What would it be? So there are many routes to curbing illegal migration. I was asked to by a minister, and I gave advice to government that this activates the Civil Contingencies Act, activates emergency powers. I think we are in an emergency, we are in a crisis. So I think there are pre-existing legal powers. But then the other thing that's marvelous about the law, Sally, is that the law is really just a tool for doing stuff and getting stuff done. That's its purpose. Labour don't think that. Keir Starmer and Lord Hermer think it's a tool for oppressing the masses and keeping you all in line, but it isn't. It's a tool for getting the stuff you want done. So if you want to stop it curb illegal migration, and I suspect most people do, and people just want to stop the boats. I mean, I was thinking when I was down in the kitchen, I think if the boats were genuinely full of women and babies, and the types of women who are coming were obviously lovely women, not, you know, dangerous jihadi brides, then I think the whole country would feel very differently about the entire thing. It's been wrong to paint us as racist. It's because they're young, violent men. You know, nobody wants a bunch of young men with knives, ill-educated, you know, young men with knives, because I'm still a first century Roman. I'm not a modern Briton. I'm allowed to call people uneducated. I'm allowed to use words like civilized and barbarian. And these are not civilized men. And Rome was great for this, because, again, Rome didn't care what race anybody was. Rome cared whether the person was civilized or a barbarian. And you were civilized if you acted in a civilized way. You could become civilized. The first non-Roman emperor is Vespasian. He's very quick. He comes not immediately after Nero, because there's something called the year of the four emperors, but he ends the year of the four emperors. He's the one who actually brings stability. And that's very quick, really, for the imperial, you know, Julio Claudio line has died out by that, by Nero. And you get Vespasian, and he is Spanish, which to the then Romans is a different race, and no one cares. What matters is, are people civilized? If you're a Christian, have you read Augustine's City of God on Just War. No, I haven't read Augustine. I haven't read as much Augustine as I should, because when I was a child, I was very arrogant about Augustine, and I used to refer to him as the world's first emo kid. I think I should go back and revisit Augustine with rather less judgmental values. I have never lost my faith, but I have found that it has modified in a way, because now I do think my faith is best described as this phrase. I think that out front are the gates of heaven, there's St. Peter being very stern about the rules about who gets in. And then round the back of the fire exit, there's Jesus just going, oh, come in, go, 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 come in. Because I am very forgiving. I mean, obviously people like Axel Rudikubana challenge faith, but we do have hell for a reason. And I believe that's where he's going. Don't think we should keep pushing them forward to put pressure on. Yes, Ali, I think confident votes are a very good idea. Somebody donated some money. Did they ask a question? Yes. Did they? We punish the government by being good people, but not taking shit. David Starkey made this point, and I agree that people are wrong to think that the British do not rebel. We definitely rebel. We don't do it in a grandiose way. So when we cut off the king's head, the French cut their king's head off about a century later. We cut the king's head off and we said, right, sir, would you mind terribly kneeling and putting your head on this block? And then he did, and he knelt. We had a plan just in case he didn't kneel, but he did kneel. And then we cut his head off. And then we all slightly embarrassing, we went, oh gosh, okay, right. Let's go home then and let's see what we do tomorrow. Whereas the French then went wild and burned half of Paris down and, you know, went crazy and mutilated the corpse and were really grotesque and just out of control. Whereas we were just more like, gosh, that was a big thing we've just done. And it is a big thing that you do to cut off a king's head. And the point to be made is that a ruler who rules the British is a fool to think we won't cut off a king's head. We will. We just won't riot afterwards. So you'll still lose your head. We just will do it in a very British way. And I think they haven't realised. It's what I call, how many times can you hit somebody with your trolley in Waitrose before you die? What my friend Kath McBride called the exploding doormat, which is this idea that the leader will just be like, my doormat just exploded, but I've walked over it a million times. It's like, yes, but you stepped on it one too many times. And that, I think, is very, very, very English. And very, very British. And I think we really are at the point now of something. Some other very generous person has donated money. Thank you very much. Hillsborough law changes the public office legality. It's so woolly, this new duty. It's out of this school of modern law. If you know me, or if this is the first time you've seen me, our laws are so bad now. It's like they're written by the draftsmen just mashing their faces into the keyboards. We have all sorts of truly ridiculous things in terms of legal drafting. Like, they draft assumptions that this law will, and it's like, no, shut up. This law may or may not, depending on how well you draft it. Do not write this law will. It's like, it's this presumption. And if you go to the Twitter account of the lady who is in charge of drafting our laws as a country, she gives speeches about this idea that you can have laws that just declare what they're going to be, outcome-based law. And it's like, no, you cannot. And all the regulators go on about this. Outcome-based regulation. So they make a regulatory law that just says you will behave well. And it's just like, what is behaving well? We're not going to tell you. So the Hillsborough law is of that school. It's of that ilk. It's written by the same people. It's woolly as hell. It won't be ever. And the reason that they make them this way is so that they can have two-tier Britain. Okay, I used to think it was just incompetence. I'm starting to think it's actually terribly convenient for them to have laws which are so woolly that nobody can understand them, that they can then lie about them. So one of the things is the hate marches in London, which are terrorist aligned and often include people who are terrorist affiliated. Now, they obviously meet the legal test for banning protest. Okay, hand on heart, that is my legal opinion. Suella Braverman is a former Home Secretary, and she is whatever you think of Suella, she's also a very good lawyer. I've talked to Suella, and she thinks it meets the legal test. So that's two of us. My dad thinks it meets the legal test for banning. My dad is a boring legal academic from Cambridge who has absolutely no political opinions at all. And in the past 10 years, he's voted Green, Lib Dem, Remain and now Conservative because he likes the mayor. But I think that is hilarious. He just he actually reads manifestos and tries to work out whether the politician would be any good, which is what we are supposed to all do. But Suella thinks it meets the legal test. My dad thinks it meets the legal test. Okay, well and good. I publish that. What then happens? Well, the Metropolitan Police Commissioner says it doesn't meet the legal test. Okay. And the minute that happens, the media are like, oh, this is difficult. How do we reconcile this? And then a bunch of lefty KCs in criminal law will go, it just doesn't meet the legal test. It doesn't meet the legal test. It doesn't meet the legal test. And it's like, ah, I can't have good law unless and until there is one solution to this. The solution to this is you. If I can make my laws so simple that you can know, you can understand that it hasn't been reached. So the current legal test is ridiculously complicated and overlong. If the legal test were simply this, so you redraft the power to ban protest and you simply say the Home Secretary of the United Kingdom shall have the power to ban a protest, right? Then they wouldn't be able to go on telly and say, we don't have the power to ban this protest, because you'd all go, I can read that. That's not hard. It says the Home Secretary has the power to ban a protest. So she's got the power. Why isn't she banning it? And then it becomes not an issue of legal interpretation, but an issue of politics. And she would have to say, I'm not banning this because I don't want to ban this, at which point they would have to admit what they are doing. You know, and the Metropolitan Police Commission would have to no longer be able to say, I don't have the power. He'd have to say, I don't want to, which is that's really the position. But until I can get our laws simplified massively, I can't get that proof. And I'm afraid, Zanzavia, that the Hillsborough law is just so waffly, it's untrue. If a barrister's always right, why do you need two in a courtroom? I actually think that's a perfectly good point. But again, I think that goes to my point that the simpler we can make the law, the better we can make these issues. I want my profession not at the middle dealing with basic questions like can we or can't we ban a protest, which, to be honest, I do think is quite simple, and it's a strongly political issue, and it really should be decided by the people. If the people want a protest banned, then a protest should be banned. I think that's very simple. I think our barristers should be out of the edge of the legal system going, dealing with issues like who's responsible when an AI driven car crashes and kills someone, because that's just about to come up, isn't it? You know, who's responsible when when something mad happens in crypto? You know, when we have advancing technology, that challenges the law in new ways, and our legal system deals with that by pushing us out to the fringes of the common law. And that's where I used to be. I used to be dealing with new issues which are arising in the common law. And the reason I never respected human rights lawyers was that they were at the center dealing with, you know, the fundamentals. What I didn't realize was the damage that they were doing in the center. So I've had to sort of come back away from the fringes and the edges to try and get them done. But yeah, I don't think we're using lawyers in a useful way. Is somebody being rude in the chat? Hillary, get rid of people if they're being nasty. I'm not having a nasty place. But I can't see them because this whole thing is just spinning. They are banning who they like, not if it's right or wrong. Yeah, as Zanzavia, that's true. They absolutely are. And nowhere is that more obvious than with the farmers. The French Revolution, seeking radical change, ended in Napoleon. Yes, I know. Based on liberty, created a structure that lasted much longer. And I know it's all in the law, really. But also, the people have to want to be free. But we need to massively simplify our laws. That will return power to you. I can't afford to take my barrister accountant to bodyguards everywhere I go. I know it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. But we have to change this. Oh, said ready. I can see that. Question: can the PM go against a referendum vote to rejoin the EU as full members? No, I don't think so. I think it's settled part of our constitution now that EU membership requires a referendum. I don't think the EU will give us membership right now, because from the EU's point of view, let me just explain what you see if you're the EU. So if you're the EU, you know that the United Kingdom is paying you money. Okay, I think a lot of us don't know that we're paying money to the EU, but we're paying money to the EU. The United Kingdom is paying you money. The United Kingdom is absolutely letting you have free access to its market, and its market's quite rich, and that's quite good for you. And you can sell any of your overpriced stuff into the United Kingdom, because the United Kingdom has not done things like said, you know what, Morocco, why don't we have your strawberries? Why do we pay for these overpriced Spanish strawberries when we could be having Moroccan ones? We haven't done that. So the EU sat there going, yay, I get paid extra money for my overpriced Spanish strawberries. Woo! The United Kingdom has agreed to adopt all new coming product regulations. We've agreed to adopt their carbon barrier. It's called CBAM. We basically have adopted all of their laws. Northern Ireland is still in their laws, so it doesn't have a choice. Anyway, there's no choice for Northern Ireland. So what often happens is the government goes, well, we've got to do it. Otherwise, people will notice that there's a difference between us and Northern Ireland. But either way, if I'm the EU, I'm just going, they're following my laws. They're paying me money. They're letting me access their market. They're not competing against me. They're not letting my competitors into their market. Why do I need them here? I don't, you know, why should I let them in? There's nothing, what is in it for me? And you see absolute levels of sheer mick-taking by the EU in the defence, this defence idea, where the EU is literally saying, we're going to borrow 150 billion euros. I mean, I'm not entirely sure which loon is lending them money, but okay. They're going to borrow 150 billion euros. If we're going to spend any on your defence equipment, you have to pay us £6 billion. And we're literally sitting there going, well, what we should be doing is going, if you want our defense equipment, that's because it's the best. So do you want to die or have the best defensive equipment? But we're obviously not doing that. We're instead trying to negotiate the fee down. Because from our point of view, how much of that 150 would need to be spent here before we raised enough money in taxes to cover the 6 billion? We'd literally be paying them to buy our stuff. That would be insane. That's just insane. Thank you, Hillary, for being brilliant and moderating. We can have other mods. Hillary, I think you can appoint them if you need them. I don't have to fight with my Substack. My Substack is, we are called the Lovelies and we're just nice people. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you, Nasty Nick. Only £1.99 and you make my life so much easier. I mean, YouTube is a bit obvious that it wants people to donate because it makes it like three times the size, differently colored, and I'm sure it's slower moving than the other bits of text. So it just makes it so easy. But yes, thank you, Nasty Nick, for donating. How do you see a reform government getting on? Any future government, so I don't want to take too much of a party political stance on anything. I just want to tell you this now. Starmer's government is collapsing in exactly the same way I thought it would collapse. Rishi Sunak's government collapsed and failed in exactly the same way I thought it would collapse. Liz is an outlier. Her government, I don't really know what the hell that was. But Rishi Sunak followed a blatant pattern, which is where the civil service is running everything. We're implementing EU law. We're not sitting down and thinking, what's the best policy for the United Kingdom? Our laws are fat and flabby. That's like the Hillsborough law. And I've told you about this entire way of writing laws, which is just doesn't work, just causes paralysis. In financial services, if anybody works in financial services, there's something called the consumer duty. All you need to know about the consumer duty is that it's so badly written. Literally no one knows what it means. Literally no one. So it just creates lots of employment for lawyers and people who are self-confident who say they know what it means, but it's just badly written toffee law. We need to get rid of all of this toffee law, but we haven't. So until anyone fixes the system, they're going to be destroyed by it. The next Labour Prime Minister is going to be destroyed by the system in exactly the same way. There won't be enough money. They won't be able to do anything. The civil service will be in charge and will run rings around them. The civil service is run by a series of director generals who are basically little mini gods now, who basically just do whatever they want and enjoy a lot of public money. And nothing that we actually need or want as a country is going to happen. Okay. And all that will happen is this Labour government will give more money to benefits, but to put more people on benefits and keep more people on benefits. So that's what's going to go on. Caitlin's. I know I can't see the rest of it, but I bet it's funny. Can you please work as an advisor for Reform or Advance UK? I would love to. And I would work with anybody. Honestly, I try to get people, I go around trying to explain. And David Starkey's great, but he sort of only sees half the problem because he talks a lot about repealing a lot of laws. And that's great. We do have to delete whole scale laws. But sometimes there's going to be areas where we need to delete it and then rebuild it. Like we can't just delete financial services regulation and not have any. That will be, that was, that's not, not, is not good. It's not, not good. It's not, no, 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 no. And there's all sorts of things that we need to delete. There's all sorts of positions that people will start to understand. I think one that people will start to understand in this, in the coming year, is that YouTube is, YouTube takes 50%. Does it really? Wow, that's ridiculous. I would, so I just answer your question, Caitlin. I would love to help anybody who is seriously committed to fixing this. It can be fixed. It's a huge amount of work. We need to delete things. So one of the positions, sorry, that, that people will get to is that they'll say things like, we should delete everything after 1997. Some of it we might actually need, probably not a lot of it, but it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad position. It's just you probably also need to delete things before 1997, because this has been a really slow burn for about 150 years. You know, the Town and Country Planning Act needs to go. And that's from like the 1940s. So, you know, it's not, if you don't delete the Town and Country Planning Act, bad problems, bad problems. It's too simplistic to say everything after 97, because some of it we need to keep. And it's like, it's too simplistic to say also that this can be fixed simply by deleting laws. We will have to rebuild some laws. So you need to, and I try to use this analogy. We need to knock down about three quarters of the city. And then we need to rebuild one quarter again in a way that works. And then that will give us room as an economy and as a system to think about other things we might want to do and how we might want to tweak how we live. The low level stuff. This is fixing. We need to fix the fundamentals. OK, that's what we absolutely need to do. We're paying Norway to buy our warships so that we can afford their ridiculously overpriced gas. Yes, we are. I know, it's just a joke. Mines, factories, mills provided an abundance of low-skilled jobs was the background of our nation. I know, and I can tell you now, Gary, that before this government, we had three ammonia plants, and now we have no ammonia plants. Before this government, we had three, oh, I don't know what it was, but some type of manufacturer. I'm so bad at remembering practical things. Three other types of plants. We now have one. We had six refineries. We now have four, and others will close. They close on a 5-year loop. And when it gets to the 5-year reset, the board will go, there's no point investing the money to restart the plant. They have to shut them down, totally deep clean it, and then start it up again. There's no point restarting in the UK because of energy prices. It's that simple. I was having a discussion with a resident who's very upset because there's going to be a data center built. And what's even worse is that there's not going to be a data center built over this lovely wooded area. There's going to be a building built in order to theoretically house a data center. There's never going to be a data center there because we have the most expensive energy in the world. So there's just no way a data center will ever be there. We're not going to have data centers in the United Kingdom. Don't let anybody tell you about AI and data centers. They're not going to be here because it would simply be too expensive to run one, because our electricity prices are unbelievably ridiculous. Nonetheless, we are such a ridiculous country that we probably will concrete over beautiful countryside in order to build the buildings that could have, in theory, housed the data center, which will then probably promptly get vandalized and fall apart. I mean, we are in a doom loop. Sai is here. There are more of the community, more of the lovelies from my StubTacker here. They just give me great confidence. Let me see if I can find. We need to leave the ECHR. Yes, we do. And I can do that. I can get that done. People keep asking Grok. Just a warning on Grok and AI. Grok has already been infiltrated by the lefty lawyers somehow. And I saw somebody asked Grok, can we leave the ECHR? And Grok gave the lefty lawyer way of leaving the ECHR. There is a Stephen way of leaving the ECHR that does not require what Grok says. It's much easier, and we're in the driving seat. We are a sovereign nation, all right? International law can be law here, but we are a sovereign nation. It is not our master. So we can get rid of it the Stephen way. It's called incorporation. I've done videos on it. No doubt I'll do more on it in the future. But just so you know, if you trust Grok or an AI, it's probably going to give you the establishment view. The Stephen view is not, I'm not wrong. And the establishment know I'm right. They just don't like it because it gets them to different political places. It gets them to places where we can do things like ignore international courts, where we don't have to give away the Chagos Islands because we don't have to give away the Chagos Islands. Things like that, which they know. I mean, Lord Homer can't be so stupid. He cannot be so thick that he genuinely believes we have to, in law, give away the Shaker Islands. I refuse to believe that. He was well-educated. A lot of money was spent on it. You know, he's a well-educated man. I refuse to believe he believes that. They have decided it's fashionable to believe this. And then they all go to dinner parties. And they all tell each other, oh, yes, well, we couldn't possibly leave these restaurants. We couldn't possibly leave. And Dominic Grieve goes, oh, I fainted at the very idea. And it's just ridiculous. So just know that we can leave it. What are your thoughts on House of Lords? Do you really think we need it? Okay, I want to say something specifically about the House of Lords. And bearing in mind, I've got friends in it. I've got two members of the House of Lords who kiss me on sight. I adore many members. One of my mates is the hardest working peer who reads everything. One of my mates is the second hardest working peer who votes on everything. I have a lot of respect for these individuals, but I'm going to say this bluntly. There is a massive benefit to hereditary peers. Okay, and I'll tell you why. If you're a hereditary peer, you grow up as a little boy or a little girl, and we could have changed it so that the girls got titles too. And God, wouldn't we all just love Princess Anne as queen? But, you sit there and you probably think I deserve this when you're a little child. But then you grow up and you start to think, hang on a second, there are people who are born to a lot, they don't have what? What do I have? And you start to feel unearned privilege. And you start to feel this concept that our noble lords used to call noblesse oblige. It's literally in Spider-Man. So Spider-Man says great power brings great responsibility. That is noblesse oblige. So the old hereditary members of the House of Lords were like, we probably shouldn't be that. And I had lunch with one, just so you know, a few weeks ago. And he literally said, well, yes, I mean, of course I inherited, but my sister actually earned her peerage. they literally talk like that. They believe like that. And because of that, they had a certain level of humility and they felt it was their duty and that God had asked them to serve their country. And don't underestimate all this stuff. We threw all this away. The current House of Lords, whilst it has many members I deeply admire and respect, has a lot of people who are just unjustifiably there. Cronies who nonetheless suffer a worse fate, which is that they believe they deserve to be there. This is proof that they were always mummy's special soldier, that they were always the chosen one. They really were always the cleverest and most perfect. That is the problem with the modern House of Lords. And how you get around it, I don't know. I think we're going to have to reform it because I think it's not sustainable as it is. But I do like a second chamber, and I think I'm being proved right on the need for a second chamber because the employment law bill has been sent back. God willing, they will block the mass state killing bill. You know, I'm really impressed with the work of the second chamber. Israel just has one chamber, so it is possible to design a constitution that way, but I suspect we're going to have to look. Charities and NGOs need to go. Yes, they're not end charities. If you're funded by the government, or you're not a charity. You're a charity if you're funded by charity. Did somebody give me money and I've not found them? Yes. It's so much easier. What laws or legal safeguards do we have that could stop unelected international bodies from gaining more power over the UK without voters approving it? So the only way unelected international bodies gain power over the UK is if we pass an act of parliament to say they do. Okay, there's a word I want you to not pay attention to. It's called ratification. Ratification matters in legal systems that are completely different from ours, and constitutions completely different from ours. Okay, the R word that we care about is incorporation. That's where Parliament pass an act to say this goes in. So I get this with something like the WHO Pandemic Treaty, and people get very upset about the WHO Pandemic Treaty. And I just go, Parliament hasn't made it our law. It's not our law. And if there's another pandemic and anybody goes, we've got to follow the WHO Pandemic Treaty, I'll just be going, nope. And I'll make YouTube videos and I'll go, unfortunately, I've got, you know, and I will say to respectable members of the House of Lords, respectable MPs, you know, we don't have to follow the WHO Pandemic Treaty. It's not incorporated in our law. We don't have to follow any international law that is not incorporated into our law. And therefore, the fight to have is always when they talk about incorporating these things. That's why the fight to have on the Chagos Islands is the act of Parliament to incorporate the treaty. And he knows he was going to lose it. So the spineless little coward has put it off till next year, which is that is a huge win, because until it's in our law, it's not law. And the Chagos Islands are legally still ours. Mauritius can say whatever it likes. The Mauritian Parliament can boil its head, as far as I'm concerned. It's formally governed by us. So it will have a constitution like our own, I suspect. I haven't actually looked. But I bet money that it also has a constitution where international treaties aren't legal until they've incorporated it. Now, they may have run the gun, and they may well have incorporated it in the Mauritian Parliament. I mean, I would if I was standing to get billions of pounds and some free islands, wouldn't you? But it doesn't matter. It's not law here until it's incorporated. And that's why the massive fight about the Chagos Islands is going to be in the House of Lords. But we are looking forward to a judgment coming out, and I don't understand where it is. Every day I wake up and go, where is this judgment? And I know the lawyers, and I don't know if they've seen. So what happens is that lawyers are quite rightly trusted with judgments in advance, but obviously they don't tell me. So I don't know. And I don't even bother asking, because that would be, I think, professionally discourteous to even ask if they've got the judgment. But I just sit there going, have they got the judgment yet? Is the judgment there? When's the judgment coming out? Because I want to know what the judgment says about the Chagos Islands. But the big fight for the Chagos Islands is going to be, screw that, Stephen. I'm a Christian, but believe in none of it. You handle the law and I'll deal with the revenge. I'm sure we flattened in the stampede when I asked for help. Love to you and yours. That's hilarious. Yes, well, I mean, I'm a Church of England middle of the road Christian, so I do. Even I've got a certain practicality to it all, you know. We do, and as I said, mine is a benign, loving, and forgiving God. And if you do things which you think are morally right, I always just think, you know, if I have to have a conversation with God about this at some point, what would I say? And if my child were at risk of being killed, or frankly, any child was at risk of being killed, and I would just run and do anything. I don't think I have any restraint there. And even if the laws of England and Wales said you used excessive force in self-defense, which can happen, I'd say, don't care. And I'd go to prison, and that would be fine. And when I got before God, I'd go, I think I did it. I would do it again. Because, you know, you defend children. That's such a fundamental to me. As a dad and as a man, that's what we do. And my mate I was with yesterday is not a dad, but it's fundamental to him. It's just what we do. And I'm pretty sure God would forgive me. Hillary, have we got any other questions that we can go to easily? I'm not ethnically English, by the way, but I just get away with it. Why the English are not protected in their own homeland? Rosie, it's really interesting because English is an ethnicity, but we never made it part of our nationality. So you can be English without being ethnically English. And I think it rather goes back to this point. English is a multi-ethnic ethnicity at the heart of it. So it's not just the Anglo-Saxons. It's also, you know, it's like the Vikings would then go, what about us? It's like, yeah, okay, you're English too. Or the Anglo-Vikings are English, you know, and then the Welsh would go, what about us? We're ancient Romans. And we'd go, yes, okay, okay. And then the Cornish would go, what about us? We're something no one knows. And we go, yes, okay, you're also. So we're already like a group of ethnic grouping. But then the most important thing, I think, and the reason why English was never based upon ethnicity and ethnicity never really mattered to us, was because we had to let in one group no one liked. In 1066, the Normans came here and they nicked all the stuff. They had no rule of law. They acted like Taliban warlords. They threw us in oubliettes. They nicked our wives. Go watch Braveheart. The ridiculousness of Braveheart, of the Scots going, look at the English oppressing us. It's like, no, you're being oppressed by the people who oppressed us. You know, and because we don't like, you know, the Normans, we do like them now. And it's, you know, it's all over and bygones have been bygones. But you can't really care about your ethnic identity if you're sharing it with somebody you fundamentally dislike, you know? And that's, I think, why English becomes quite open to the idea of not caring too much about ethnicity when we all get together and create Britishness. And we had to create Britishness because the Scots were like, I'm not giving up my Scottish identity. And so we did that. And we were just like, yeah, fine. We don't think nationality is based on ethnos anyway. We've suffered the Normans for years. You met them in the 1400s. But, you know, so I think that's very kind of you to recognise it. I want people to recognise my ethnicity as Anglo-Saxon and thus English. But I have no real problem with Rishi Sunak being culturally English or allowed into an English national identity. If you just said that he was Anglo-Saxon, I think that might be going too far. But I don't really care because, again, And the other thing is, because the Normans went around saying to all of us, they said to the Anglo-Vikings, you're scum. And they said to the Anglo-Saxons, you're definitely scum. And they said to the Welsh, you're scum. And they said to the Cornish, you're scum. You know, we've all sort of got sort of used to not taking ourselves terribly seriously. Can we make laws to hold politicians accountable? Caitlin has now a special crown making. There is a crown. Okay, there are three crowns, everyone. And I don't know how you get them. But once you get a crown, it's much easier to see your stuff. Can we make laws to hold politicians accountable? You don't want to, Caitlin. Okay, you don't want to for one reason. Lord Justice Bean. Okay, Lord Justice Bean overturned the Epping Hotel case, and he was once the chair of the Fabian Society, and he found in favour of the government. Do you really want judges holding politicians to account who may well have been Labour Party members or Conservative Party members for years, who may have stood as candidate? You know, it's just going to look dodgy as hell. Even if they're being honest, we're probably not going to trust them. So you really just want to keep politics away from judges. That is the best. I want to. So they say I'm not popular now with the senior judiciary, and I'm pretty sure the Lady Chief Justice does not approve of me. But they need to understand that I work and I want to work to protect the judges from themselves. So the Lady Chief Justice is currently doing what the House of Lords Constitutional Committee is currently doing, both of which are utter mistakes, which is going around saying the public shouldn't be allowed to criticise judges. Judges are special and magic and blah, 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 blah. How very dare they? It's stupid. It's the wrong way to do it. If you want to protect judges, you pull them away from political things. Put them near politics and they're going to get burned, okay? You go in the kitchen, particularly judges, because they're quite naive. So the Supreme Court is much more politicised than the House of Judicial Committee of the House of Lords ever was. Irony, as they sat in the political chamber. But anyway, and so on its as part of its political campaign, the Supreme Court just sent a Supreme Court justice to Mauritius. Now, I don't think they thought that through. I'm not saying that they are endorsing the giving away of the Chagos Islands, but there's a high court case about the Chagos Islands going to Mauritius. If it fails, it'll be appealed to the Court of Appeal, and then it'll possibly be appealed to the Supreme Court. So the optics of sending that judge to the to Mauritius to give a speech on the rule of law and our great friendship with Mauritius. I mean, you have to be a political infant to think that that is a prudent or shrewd or wise thing to do. Yet nonetheless, they've done it, which is what I mean, that not only is it, you know, if you're in the kitchen, you're going to get burned. It's like if you're in the kitchen and you're, you know, overexcited toddler, you're doomed. You know, our judges not only shouldn't do politics, they're going to self-harm. This is completely stupid. That will come back to haunt them with legs on it. Okay, and this is why they just don't foresee things. And they don't foresee things because, quite rightly, their minds are fixed on law and proper law isn't political. So I'm really not criticizing that judge as a judge or a lawyer. I'm saying they've engaged in politics. They haven't thought it through. It's going to utterly blow up in their face. And when it blows up in their face, going, you can't be mean to us, is not going to work. So the Lady Chief Justice doesn't have to like me, but she does have to realise that I probably understand this a little bit better than all of them and maybe consider that I might have some ideas. So don't consider me as a person. Maybe consider the value of my thinking and my argument. Nasty Nick says English identity is attacked today like it was by the Normans. Yeah, I think there's parts of that, Nick. And I think actually we need to probably be more proud about it. Because what we did was the Normans have largely gone away or become ultra charming, like that hereditary peer I had lunch with. And we've got a hereditary peer. We've got two locally. And one came to an in-town primary school, you know, to be with the kids and was utterly... This is the guy who arranged the coronation. And he's just hanging about with a bunch of local primary school kids being incredibly charming, an absolutely charming old buffer. You know, the other one who lives locally, his wife is one of the most charming people you've ever met in your life. And she invites all the local school children to the manor house that has been in the family for, you know, for 600 years. And she lets the children hold a pearl necklace and she hands it round from child to child. And then after that, she tells them, this is the pearl necklace that Henry VIII gave to the family. So, you know, the Normans got better by the end of it. We have a constructive relationship with the Normans now, but we do need to talk about when it wasn't nice. And then we need to talk about how these would-be Normans, these incredibly arrogant, largely lefties who see themselves as God gifts to everything, like Thangham Debonair, I mean, if you've seen that woman's face, she thinks she's amazing. Or the Prime Minister, and who think the rest of us, or the people who are in spoons with me, or the ordinary white working class, or the, you know, the tradespeople, or just ordinary working class people of all type are scum. They're like wannabe Normans, and they've inherited this role. They're like, we will be the privileged people if we treat them like scum. And we need to make it very clear that they're not going to be allowed to treat us like scum anymore. So I think that is a very important point, Nasty Nick. I'm going to give that a heart. Apparently, I'm to chat publicly. Slow mode is on. I have no idea what any of this is. What is that? I just talked to Nick. Is that not enough? Let me know if you need more, or if that was a good enough answer. But I do think it's we're allowing these fake Normans to treat us like scum, partly because a little bit of it is ingrained. I don't want to criticize us because we're the victims, but I do think we need to stand up for ourselves. I think we need to read Kipling again, Kipling poems. He used to be, not very long ago, he was, you know, the nation's favorite poet. We just stopped reading him. And Kipling's got brilliant poetry about this Norman-Saxon relationship. And we need to realize now that it's not the Normans now, because they've been treated like scum and kicked out the House of Lords twice, and largely jeered at, you know, the new elite of that, you know, this, that unearned wealth guy from the, I mean, all of these people who get unearned wealth because they align with the Fabian cult, you know, and they have hundreds of thousands of pounds and pensions and all this unearned wealth, all of them who are suckling at the teeth of the state, really, they are the wannabe new Normans. They're treating the Normans quite badly. So actually, I think we'd always say that, you know, a bit of sympathy for the Normans, but they want to be Normans again. They want to sneer at us. They want to tell us that we're scum. And it really came to a fore in the Brexit referendum, because you got the people like my dad who voted Remain, who are just nice and accepted the result. And then you got this class of person who wouldn't accept the result. And it's like, who do you think you are? Why do you think that you're so special? What, you know, what was it, like 32 million people voted? You go with the result. Who do you think you are? And these people who see themselves as an anointed class of would-be aristocrats, they are like a Norman replacement. And we just have to say that we're not having it anymore. Now, does anybody have a last question that I can see? Oh God. Hillary! This feels just a touch of anything. I can't see anything. Well, that's nice. Welsh Enzo's being nice and Welsh. I have to say, I've always liked the Welsh, because I find them a kindred spirit, because I spend all my time singing. So, I mean, I've always liked the Welsh. And I like Welsh accents because, again, they're very lyrical. I have a sort of crush on certain accents, and Welsh and West Country are definite favourites, because they're just so lyrical. Like, I could just sit there and listen to it just going, and it's just like, oh, this is nice. It's just nice. So I'm very happy that somebody's being nice in Welsh. Yakida, well, of course. What is it about the Welsh? I can't remember. Ah, good, a question I can see. From South Wales, civil violence coming to UK. I hope not, Tony. I hope that we do what we do best, which is rebel in a very dignified way. This is why I recommend people take chocolate digestives to protests. And I think we should have the Great Cake Revolution, the Great Cake March. I'd like maybe the Great Pink Lady March, something that's very, very British, but very, very clear that we are not putting up with this anymore. If we can't solve it that way, then yes, violence is where we go, but it really is not British. I really hope that we don't have to do it. I really hope that they come to their senses. I'm trying to praise Labour MPs when they're sensible, so that I'm not seen as somebody who's just angry at the Labour Party. As I said, I've agreed with Diane Abbott twice in the last week. I just agreed with Jeremy Corbyn because he supported trial by jury. Jonathan Hinder is a lesser-known Labour MP who is absolutely brilliant on the puberty blockers trial, which is, of course, just child abuse by the state. State sterilisation of innocent, vulnerable children. And he's very strong on that. We've got to be strong on that. Next time, can we discuss digital ID, please? Yes, we absolutely can. Can people start... I don't know if you need how to message... Is there a way to message me on YouTube? Ask Hillary. But let me know, because I want to know what types of things you want for videos. The next one, as I say, is on misconduct in public office. Why can't we start charging ministers with misconduct in public office? We can. We will. And I will give a breakdown. I also wonder if people have views on length of videos. So this is the next one that's coming, and it's coming tomorrow, Mr. J. So look forward. In the post section on our page. Yeah, it's useful. I wondered if there should be like a private, I wish there was like an email service or something. But let me know about length of videos. Are they too long? Are they too short? Longer, please. Okay, yeah. Any idea of length? Longer the video, the better, depending on the content. I know, but what if my content is rubbish? Mods here don't mind the anti-Semitic conspiracy nuts. No, the mods here do, because the mod here is Hillary, and Hillary will not allow anti-Semitism, and I will not allow anti-Semitism. I drafted or helped draft the October Declaration against anti-Semitism, and I marched against it. We will not have anti-Semitism here. I can't see it, but if you see it, flag it to a mod. Do you know what? If you're... Hillary, make him a mod. I'll do it. I'll make you a mod. If you see anti-Semitic abuse in this chat, you get rid of it, mate. I won't have anti-Semitism. It's racism. I won't have any racism. None of it. Absolutely none. Absolutely none. My best mate, or one of my closest mates from a university, is Douglas Murray. Not having anti-Semitism. Not having it. Go away. And if you try and pick on any race, I'm not having it. We're not having it. It's just one of those absolute lines. And I will call out anti-white racism as well, because it's just all of it's wrong. It's so, racism is fundamentally stupid. We are one race, okay? So I just hate it. It's just viscerally bad. So yeah, we won't have any racism. So I point out that I've got Muslim friends as well, as do my dogs. I think there's a great myth about Muslims that are said, and I don't like that either. You could post it on YouTube and use an opinion poll. Oh my God, can I? Tony, that's like magic. Okay, I will do an opinion poll. I will do an opinion poll. Wow. We are the human race. We are the human race. Yeah, and this idea that we're racially different just because at high sunlight levels, we need a lot of melanin in our skin to protect us from sunburn and UV rays and cancer. And at low light levels, we need much less melanin in our skin so that we can get vitamin D. Right. Well, that's fine. My dogs look pretty different. They're still dogs. You know, this is just nonsense. I love Douglas Murray and Constantine Christen. Yes. Well, I adore Douglas. Never did I imagine that my friend of many years would end up, my gay friend of many years would end up with so many Jewish women desperate to marry him. He's very lucky. He is very lucky. Every time I meet an attractive Jewish woman, she wants to marry Douglas. But just a small thank you for all you do, Stephen. Thank you very much, Mega Mandy. That is really appreciated. I am trying to make a living through social media and media. It is not the same as being a commercial chancery barrister in the High Court, but we don't spend a lot of money. And, you know, I'd rather live a good and useful life and do something that I think is meaningful. And I think people like what I do, and I think I'm helping people. I will be on Josh Howie tomorrow. And I'm just really grateful and touched by that, Mega Mandy. We should all thank Mega Mandy. That's really kind. Again, if you do like my content, think about subscribing to my Substack. We are a lovely, lovely community. One day we're going to have a party and all meet. We're all characters and we get to know each other and we've got quirks. And the other thing I'll say, although I won't betray them, but I get a lot of direct messages on my Substack saying, I don't feel able to speak in the community, but you know, I really value it. I really value what you do. And we bring people out and make them more confident in this very scary, nasty world. Always remember the words. I'm not going to do a Trump impression because actually I think I'm pretty bad at Trump impressions. But always remember the words of Mr. Trump. Socialist states are nasty and incompetent. Who's more terrifying, Marxists or Fabians? Marxists. So the Fabians are wet, weak, what the Americans would call beta men. They are, their only weapons are passive aggression. And eventually the Marxists realize and the Marxists go, well, we've got these milk bottles filled with petrol and rags. Use your passive aggression against that, mate. So the Marxists are ultimately more dangerous, but the Fabians can't control them and the Fabians unleash them. The Marxists are the Fabians' kids. So they're weak, wet, man who isn't a proper dad, who doesn't make the child feel safe, which is that really is the role of a dad. That is, you know, that is the fundamental role of the dad, is to make the child feel safe and loved and, you know, content and all the rest of it, which I try desperately hard to do with my child. These weak men who are often vain and totally obsessed with themselves, you know, and how amazing they are, who only use their children as props. You know, their children grow up very resentful against those dads. They do. Mia says that's a critical hit. Thank you. I do think so much of this is parenting, you know, having been through it. And I should have gone by now. The numbers are going down. So I think people expected me to have gone by now, but I'm sort of on a little roll. I have often said that parenting is a lot like the development of a democratic nation state. So you start with human society always as a utterly totalitarian state with one, you know, one person in charge, one guy at the top. With a baby, the parents are utterly in charge of everything. The baby's literally in charge of three things: crying, you know, falling asleep, eating, pooing. But the parents have to do everything for it, or it's going to die. Then as the baby grows up, you become more of a sort of, it gets more responsibility because it can do more things on its own. It can stand up, feed itself, starts to be able to be potty trained, but you're still in charge. So you're more like a king or a dictator there. You know, you've got that sort of relationship. Yes, I'm absolutely in charge, but you run your day-to-day life. You know, Putin doesn't run the day-to-day lives of most Russians, you know, and you start to get more independent. And then eventually in the teenage years, there's what we call the French Revolution or the revolutionary period, where they just cast you down and they will not accept your authority anymore and they will not have you as an absolute monarch. And, you know, if you handle that badly, you're going to get your head cut off. So I'm facing that. So I'm trying to handle that period well. And then if you handle that period well, what they then do is bring you back as a sort of constitutional monarch. They bring you back and they say, look, Dad, you know, you don't get to tell me how to run my life. I live in my own house. You don't get to run my household, but I might come for you for wise advice, you know, and I still respect you and you're still my dad. And that's where I hope to get to with my child. And that is a democratic constitutional monarchy, which is what we have. That is. And I think this is why, because David Starkey started saying, and it's very true, that the word constitution goes to the word of body. And literally, if you're a Dungeons and Dragons fan, you knew this long before David worked it out, because you literally knew that constitution affects your hit points and whether or not you can eat poisons and all sorts of other things. But the constitution is the body of us. And this is why it's so fundamental to who we are as humans. We love you, Stephen. Leeds, UK. Oh, that's just lovely. People are just being nice. That's because then when the Lady Chief Justice makes it very clear that I'm beneath the salt, it's very nice to know that somebody appreciates what I do. I think I've answered all of the last questions. Can we really get rid of child by jury? We're going to stop them, Ian. Okay, we're going to stop them. We're going to stop them using political force. Okay, but watch me tomorrow on Josh Howie, because that's what I'm doing. King Charles is richer than people think. Yeah, I know that the royal family is great, but they do give all the Crown Estate money back, and we do have a fair settlement. And if we wanted more money out of King Charles, we could get it. We don't need to cut his head off to get it. Give me control of the nation's finances, and I care not who makes the law. Okay, well, I think that's overly ambitious. Was that a banker who said that? It's like economists always think that the most important thing in the world is economists. And to be fair, criticize lawyers always think the most important thing in the world is law. But anyway, return the grand jury. Well, I think we might look at all sorts of things. All sorts of things are going to become possible, because all sorts of things are going to become very broken. Thank you, everyone here, for being a good community. Yes, and thank you, Hillary, for all the work that you've done. Thank you to everybody. I'm sorry if there was anti-Semitic abuse. I didn't see it. We will not tolerate it. Not ever. And I make it very clear that I'm a Zionist, so. You want to be worried about Zionists, you're going to be rude about me. Maybe your kid would like the preparation How to Become Competent, Confident, and Dangerous by Doug Casey. I have not got that. I don't know that. I'm going to highlight that. This is my level of technological awareness. Copy and paste. And I'm going to put it into a Word file, and I'm going to have a look at that, because Christmas is coming up. Although can I just confess to you that we're in a bit of a bind? Because I'm starting to worry that my child doesn't believe in Father Christmas. But I'm just going to carry on. I'm not giving him. Right. He was a Rothschild. Yeah, well, exactly, Rothschilds. Although there was a Sir Walter Rothschild in Tring was one of life's most eccentric men who had zebras pull his horse and cart and set up the Sir Walter Rothschild Zoological Museum at Tring, which is now rather boringly called the Natural Museum of Tring. It's like, this is much more exciting. And he was so eccentric that he just had the neck of a giraffe, and it's just on the floor. So it just looks like the neck is just coming out. But anyway, gay paramedic, incredibly tired of the trans agenda in medicine. Thankfully, we let... I have to say to you, Earth Element, any thoughts on gender criticism? I am so proud of the same-sex men, the same-sex attracted men, because I'm bisexual, so I have to use that term, who have come up in defense of children. People like James Dreyfus, who I would absolutely trust to look after my child. People like Douglas, who I already did trust to look after my child. I think what it's done, this ridiculous trans agenda and the abuse of children, what it's done is allow us to come to express the fact that we are safe and good and decent men, even if we can't have kids. You know, that's, we're still dads. We're still decent. We still die and fight to defend children. Graham Linehan is not much of a physical fighter. I love Graham. I've met him many times. Adore him. He's mate. He's not much of a fighter, but you know, he just die. I'm not much of a fighter. I just like let the knife lodge in me, and then it's not in a child. Tactical move. But I think it's been great for same-sex attracted people. I'm with the LGB. And I think we just need to make it very clear that they shouldn't mutilate children. Fighting the puberty blocker trial is on my list of things to do. I'm not giving up on that, but it doesn't start till January. So we do have just a little bit of time. But it, and then if they go ahead with it, I am going to want prosecutions. And I'm fed up of my fellow lawyers saying, Stephen's a bit eccentric. It's like, no, we use the law to stop abominations, all right? That's what we do. So I'm going to heart that. Did I heart the really generous one? I bet I didn't. Did I? It was so useless. I do try and gave up on your hairline. Who gave up on my hairline? I've got a great hairline. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm on Josh Howie, and Josh has got no hair. So I usually just tell the audience that I've got Josh's hair. I've got all the hair. That's how it works. Josh is very funny. Right. You can see me on Josh Howie tomorrow. I've waffled for 11 minutes too long, but you've all been absolutely amazing. Thank you in particular to Mega Mandy, who has just made my day and been incredibly generous. Thank you all. Go and have lovely weekends, and then have a lovely Sunday when there'll be the new video tomorrow, but ideally before I do Josh. Yes, that would be best. Okay. All right. Bye, everybody. Bye.